You have your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2, a very familiar passage. We're going to be mentioning many. We won't read them all this morning, but we're going to mention many as we do a broad scope on prayer and the importance of prayer. And, of course, we have several things to pray for, and we ask you to pray for us, especially over the next few weeks. That the Lord will do a work about the importance of prayer. But look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 1. You'll note in verse 8, they watch the Lord go to heaven, and they're given a great responsibility to get the gospel to the world. And then you'll note verse 13 and 14, they stay in the upper room until the Holy Spirit is sent, and Peter preaches at Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. And we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2 in verses 4 and verse 41. And in verse of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's pray. I do thank thee so much for your love, and we thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we concentrate upon your word and, Lord, our lives before it, Lord, may our hearts be open and may we allow you to not only challenge us with your word, but, Lord, also change us a little bit more, Lord, that we might be vessels you can do a wonderful work through. And, Lord, we give this time to thee and we ask that you'll just do a work in all of us. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. I don't think there's any topic that is one of those that a church can give itself more to than to prayer. You'll note the priorities of the early church. One priority is obviously the first one is doctrine. You have to have a foundation. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. And then they had to spend time together. Many of these were ostracized once they accepted Christ, so they spent time in fellowship and encouraging one another in the Lord. And in breaking of bread, they had communion, where they spent time worshiping the Lord. And then you find the fourth one is they gave themselves to prayer. As you note, that mankind was created for fellowship. They were placed in a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden, and a very beautiful place. We someday will have, during the millennial time, we'll have somewhat like that. But nonetheless, a very beautiful place, but man chose to rebel against God, and the fellowship was broken. God also promised that he would send a redeemer. Jesus Christ was going to come, and really the purpose of Calvary was that mankind could be brought back in a peaceful relationship with Almighty God so they could have fellowship. That is the purpose of Calvary. You say, well, it's to save me from hell, yeah. But it is to bring me into a right relationship that I'd be reconciled and at peace with God and I might be able to have fellowship with him. You'll note the purpose of Calvary, and that is why Christianity, it is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. I am saved to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to walk with God. And that was Paul's longing in Philippians, that he would know the Lord, that he would walk with the Lord, and that he would talk with the Lord, and have communion with the Lord. That was his great longing, and that ought to be ours. And for us to have fellowship, you'll note, according to the book of John, I need to, first of all, be a child of God. In order to have fellowship, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, I have to have a relationship. I also have to walk in obedience. I have to walk in light. And I also have to, 1 John 1, 9, I have to confess my sins. There are things I have to do to have a relationship, that I might be godly in my walk and in my work, and also in my words, I might be godly, Psalm 15. That is the purpose of Calvary. And we as Christians need to realize how important prayer really is. It is how I can have a relationship where I walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and allow him to teach me and speak to me and lead me and direct me. I've been married almost 36 wonderful years to a wonderful woman by the name of Jane. What would it be if we never talked? Well, you say your relationship would be in trouble. Absolutely. But the more I talk to her and the more we discuss things and communicate, the closer we become and the greater our relationship becomes. That is why it is so important that we spend time together. You say, well, what about our Heavenly Father? That is why it is so important that you and I spend time with the Lord. That is how our relationship grows, and it's how we become more like Him and how He speaks to us and teaches us and how we walk with Him and commune with Him. And we ought to have prayer life, our ought to be a major aspect of our Christian life where we spend time in prayer. Now let me ask you, how much time do you spend talking? Just talking. How much time do you spend worrying? Discussing, fretting, wondering and analyzing and rationalizing. Wouldn't it be better to spend time with your Heavenly Father and in prayer? And so I want us to look very briefly this morning, and I'm going to give you seven principles that lay out the absolute priority and the necessity for us to be prayer warriors. Now, we have many things to pray for. I have my list. You have your list. Our church has its list. Our missionaries have their list. There is a lot to pray for, but do we pray? Well, first of all, I want to mention this prayer was the pattern of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ spent much time in prayer. Now, when you think of that, you have to wonder, this is the God of the universe spending time. He's in the flesh, and He's communing with the Heavenly Father. Now, I do not grasp it all, but I do grasp this. Prayer was important. His relationship with the Heavenly Father was monumental. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, He was praying alone. In Mark chapter 1, He rose in the morning early and went to prayer in Mark 1:35. In Mark 6, you'll note He went into a desert place up into the mountain to pray in chapter 6, verse 46. In Luke 9, verse 16, He went into the wilderness to pray. Luke 6, 12, He prayed all night. In Luke 9, 18, while He was praying. In Hebrews 7, 25, right now He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's still praying, and He's praying for us. And that ought to be a tremendous encouragement to you, but also a challenge. If the Lord felt it necessary to pray, don't you think it's necessary that you pray? He prayed. I'd like you to notice about His prayer life. He prayed before making the decisions. You'll note before His temptation in Mark and Matthew 4. At His baptism, He prayed in Luke chapter 3. When His fame spread in Luke chapter 5, before choosing His disciples in chapter 6, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, at the Last Supper in Matthew 26, and in the garden, Matthew 26, and on 27, on the cross, He prayed. Over and over, you find the Lord praying, but also praying about different things. Notice also He taught His disciples to pray. Luke chapter 11, Matthew chapter 21, He taught His disciples. And we know how Luke chapter 11, the disciples were, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." You know it by heart. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The elements of our prayer life are laid out there very clearly and very plainly. He taught His disciples and thus also taught us how to pray. You'll also note that He also calls us all to pray. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord says, "Men ought always to pray." In other words, there should not be a day go by where you spend adequate time with your Heavenly Father, talking to Him, communing with Him, building your relationship with Him in prayer. I think there's a second principle is this, is not only prayer was was the pattern of Jesus Christ, but prayer also is the protection of the saints. You'll know we need prayer. It is important that we pray because it is the protection of the saints. Now go with me, if you will, very quickly to Matthew 26, verse 41. They're in the garden in this incident. And what does he tell Peter and John and James to do? Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. In other words, be alert and be connected to me so when the temptation comes, you don't fall. Now, what did they do? They failed to pray. They failed to watch, and they failed. They fail as believers. 1 Peter chapter 5, you know the passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. What's it say? It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then it says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, we are to be sober and be vigilant, be watching, and prayer is one of those protection things of the saints. How do we stay protected? How do we protect ourselves? In Matthew, in Ephesians chapter 6, one of the, what do you say? The armor, spiritual armor pieces that we're to put on after they're all on. What is it supposed to be? Bathed in prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We are to be prayer warriors as believers, praying always with all prayer and supplication, the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And see, not only did the Lord spend time in prayer, but he also gave us prayer as a protection of the saints. I'd like you to notice the third one is this, is prayer was the power source, or we would say the connecting powers to the power source, or the connection to the power source, which is the Holy Spirit. Prayer was the connection to the power source, which is the Holy Spirit. In other words, where do I get my power to be victorious in my Christian life? It is through the work of the Holy Spirit. How do I get connected or stay connected to the Holy Spirit? I have to spend time in prayer. And of course, you find that in Acts chapter 1, they're given this tremendous responsibility to take the gospel to the whole world. And what they do in verses 13 and 14, they spend time in prayer. They go into the upper room, there's 120 at that gathering, and they spend time in prayer. And then you'll find Acts chapter 2, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and is sent. And see, if I am going to walk in the Spirit and I'm going to yield to the Spirit, I have to spend time in prayer, setting aside my will, my plans, my desires, my goals, and say, Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in me and through me. How does that happen? It happens in prayer, where I spend time with my Heavenly Father in prayer. Not only is prayer, as prayer was by the Lord himself who saw the importance of prayer, but also prayer itself, as you know, is the connection, our connection to the power source, which is the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to know the next one is this, is prayer number four, prayer was the priority of the early church. We read in Acts chapter 2, it was one of their priorities, but I want you to notice, and it's the fourth one that is mentioned, but I want you to notice the prayer life throughout the book of Acts. First of all, to show you the importance of the prayer life for the early church, number one was this, is everyone prayed. The church itself gathered in prayer, and they prayed, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. But you'll find in chapter 1, verse 14, the 120. You find 3,000 in chapter 2, verse 42. We find Paul praying in chapter 9, verse 11. You know that he comes to Christ on the road to Damascus. chapter 9, he's praying. You'll note Peter is praying in chapter 10, Cornelius in chapter 10. The church itself is praying, and we spent time a couple Wednesday nights ago on this. Chapter 12, Paul and Silas in chapter 16. The church as a whole spent time in prayer. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I know some cannot come. It just does not work. But whether you're here on Wednesday night or not, you and I ought to, as a church, set aside time and say, Lord, here's our needs. We need you. They all prayed, but I'd like you to notice, secondly, they prayed about everything. We had a gentleman in our church years ago who thought you could only pray about what he called spiritual things. Now, my question is, what are the spiritual things? Well, everything in our life is to be spiritual, but this was one of his quirks. He just thought for us to pray about someone being sick, that was a non-spiritual thing, or someone had a car problem, for us to pray about that, or someone was moving or something. To pray about those insignificant things were not important. We should only pray about the spiritual things, like missionaries. Now, I agree we should pray for missionaries, but the Bible says casting all your care upon him. It just doesn't say there's a little category. Everything in my life has a spiritual connection. I'm to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, and I'm to bring glory to him through every aspect of my life. But I want you to know what they prayed. They prayed, first of all, you'll know in chapter 1, for the Holy Spirit to come. You'll note they prayed also in chapter 6, choosing deacons. They also prayed concerning choosing spiritual leaders of the church in chapter 16, and choosing missionaries in chapter 13, and choosing pastors in chapter 14. You'll note why Peter was in prison for his release. They prayed in chapter 12. For the healing of Dorcas in chapter 9, verse 40. When Paul was departing, he prayed for the pastors in Ephesus, and also when departing from Miletus in chapter 20 and 21. Also the healing of Publius' father in chapter 28. See, there wasn't a particular thing they prayed for. Whatever the need was, they knew where to go to get help. It was the power source. It was Almighty God. They prayed, not only everyone prayed, but they prayed about everything, but they prayed everywhere. There wasn't a particular place they prayed from. They prayed in the upper room, chapter 1, verse 14. They prayed in the temple, chapter 3, verse 1. By the bedside of Dorcas in chapter 9. On the road to Damascus, Paul prayed. On the housetop in Joppa, Peter prayed. They prayed by the riverside. They prayed in chapter 16. They prayed while in jail in chapter 16. They prayed by the seashore in chapter 21, in the temple, chapter 22, in a ship, chapter 27, and on an island they prayed. And see, there's not a magical place to pray from. They prayed about the needs that they had wherever they were, and so should we. You'll say, what were some of the things that happened with the prayer life of this early church? Well, let me give you some things. The Holy Spirit came. The souls were saved. The church grew. The word was proclaimed boldly. The dead were raised. The captives were released from prison. The sick were healed, and in chapter 17, the whole world was turned upside down for Christ. You say, God answered prayer in a miraculous way and did wonderful things. Everyone prayed from everywhere they were, and they prayed about everything, and God did miracles. I'd like you to number 5, is prayer is one of the purposes to which church leaders are called. I am, as a pastor, to give myself and give much time to prayer. Not just me, but all church leaders. And you'll know that in Acts chapter 6. There became a murmuring in the church. In other words, a disgruntlement in the early church. Now notice the church had really grown. And for a church to grow like that, you know, there was just not the organization for all the needs to be met, and some of the needs were not being met, which you can understand. When you went from 120 to 3,000 people in just a day, you say, okay, we got some needs here. We have some holes to fill and some holes to plug, because some of the ladies were not being taken care of like they should. And so the people became disgruntled. Well, what they did is the leaders, which were the apostles at the time, got together and said, well, let's choose deacons. And they chose deacons. And you'll note the deacons are listed there in Acts chapter 6. But what was the reason for choosing deacons? So they could give themselves to prayer and the study of God's word and the ministering to the people. Not that the pastors could not do those things. They could feed, they could carry the meal, they could do those things. The apostles could have done them. But they had to keep their priorities straight. And I grew up on the farm, as you note. I liked doing things. I liked working with my hands. I like destroying. I like building. Those things do not bother me. But I have to keep in mind, what's my priority? Jane and I discussed this, and of course, one of the things, I love the outdoors, I love the farm. Should we attempt to buy a place in the country? Okay? We discussed, and we looked at several. She would like to be around people. I like to, when I'm not ministering, I like to go out and mow the lawn, to do something. That's just the way I grew up. But I said, what is best? I said, God called us to Iowa to minister to people. I said, it is best we live in town so we're always touching people. And the Lord has worked and led, and so it looks like we will be in Manila, and I guess we got some rough people at the end of our street that need ministering to. I do not know them all. But why not somewhere else? Why not the country? Well, I believe it's this, is we are to minister to people. And in the country, there are a lot of things that can take you away from doing what is best. Not that it isn't fun, not that we don't enjoy it. Grace would have loved to have a place where she had a horse out in the country. That was her dream. Well, she's going to have to get married to do that. But nonetheless, we have to realize what is our priorities. It is the purpose to which a pastor is called, one of which is to give himself to prayer. It's that important. I think it was number six is this. As you'll note, that prayer is also the product of a surrendered life. You'll note this church, and I want to put it in its context, this church was given the responsibility to go to the world with the gospel. Can you imagine? This is the beginning of the gospel being spread to the world. Okay, here's this 120 people. They get the orders from the Lord. First, the disciples got it at the end of Matthew chapter 28, you'll note, and Mark chapter 16. But the church is here, and they watched him ascend on high, but he gives them this mandate to take the gospel, to start here at Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then on to uttermost parts of the world. They could not physically do it. And so what did they do? They realized they needed God to do a miraculous thing, and God did. But they realized that the task was just too great, that the flesh was too weak, and the enemy too strong, and the world too influential. And that they realized that without the Lord, they could do nothing. So what did they take on as one of their priorities was they needed to spend time in prayer. See, nothing has changed. The flesh is too weak. The cause is too great. The enemy too strong. The world too influential. We must spend time in prayer. And they realized it. And we need to realize the same thing. It is absolutely necessary that we as a church and as individuals, we spend time going to our Heavenly Father and asking Him to do a work not only in us, but through us to bring glory to His name. I then notice lastly, and if you'll take your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Very familiar passage, but I want you to notice the wonderful privilege. And prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have as a saint, is we can talk to our Heavenly Father. As we have been studying through not only in Sunday school, but also the evening service about God, one of the things that just I cannot totally get my arms around is this thought that God would want to have fellowship with me. This God that we serve is so infinite, so wonderful, we can't even have the words to describe Him, nor can we totally grasp Him. But to think that the God of the universe would want to spend time having me talk to Him and Him talk to me literally is bigger than I can grasp. But look with me at Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, when you take those passages apart, or those few verses, you find that Jesus Christ is our great high priest who cares about us. He is understanding because He went through. There's nothing you're going to go through that He does not understand because He was there. And He came out victorious because He's at the right hand of the throne of God on high, and He has all the power and ability to meet our need. And He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find the help we need and find mercy and grace when we need it. Whatever our need is, we are to come to Him, and He honestly, honestly cares. Now let me ask you, if you got on the phone and you called one of the leaders of our country, would you get through? Probably not. You'd probably go through several secretaries, and they would ask you why, whatever you want to talk to them about, what's your need. And the chance of you getting through is not real high. But I can go to the God of the universe at any time, from any place, whatever my need is, and He honestly cares. And He has the power to fix it. And He invites me to come as a believer, to come boldly. Now, I want to ask you, how is your prayer life? Do you honestly spend a lot of time in prayer? Let me give you some verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, we are to rejoice in hope. We're to be patient in tribulation. But we are to be continuing instant in prayer. At a moment's notice, from any place, at any time, go to the Lord with your needs. Ephesians 5:18, we quoted, praying always, not just sometimes, but always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. In other words, always pray for saints. Pray for each other. Philippians chapter 4, you note verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we mentioned casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Pray, pray. Now, our family has a lot of needs, and this church has a lot of needs. You say, what's our need? Our need is to influence this area for Christ and to touch lives. This summer, we have Bible school. My prayer is, I've been praying every day that God will do a wonderful work this year in Bible school. Last year, we just got our feet wet. But I hope this year, we really are able to see God do wonderful things. I think we had 14 saved last year. I hope this year it is many, many, many more. We all have needs. And we can worry, we can fret, and we can stew, and we can act ungodly, or we can go to the God of the universe who understands, who sees, who cares, who has all the ability to take care of it. And I'm asking you, like Paul says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for each other and pray that God will do a work. The importance of prayer. Now, I want to ask you this question as we close. How much time did you spend in prayer on a daily basis last week? And I'm not saying pray for the food. That's not what we're talking about. You should. Thank God for it. But I'm talking about spending time in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. You and I were created for fellowship. And if you're going to have a relationship as we have been desiring with Almighty God to get to know him, the knowledge of the holy, and getting to know, beholding God so we know him, you have to spend time with him. And that means the TV off. That means your brain turned on. And it doesn't mean you fall asleep in prayer. It means you and I fervently come before our Heavenly Father with our needs. He promises to hear, and he has the ability to answer. And so I hope you realize the importance of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around. I didn't ask you to give me an answer of how much time you spend in prayer, but I hope you answered it. Maybe you need to get up a little earlier or stay up a little later, or maybe you need to set aside a special time when the kids are down, the phone is off, and you just spend time with him. Hebrews says, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help whenever we need it. They realized in the book of Acts, the early church, how important prayer was. Everyone prayed. They prayed about everything, and they prayed from everywhere because they realized the task was just too big. The enemy was just too strong. Their flesh was way too weak. And the world's influence was way too heavy upon them. They needed to spend time in prayer, and so do you. How many say, Pastor Malora has spoken to me, and I see a need. I haven't been praying like I should. I just know it has not been as important in my life as I know it should be. And I realize that if God is going to use me and change me and use my life to touch people for Christ, I need to spend time in prayer. I need a better relationship. And you say, the Lord has convicted me this morning, and I'm just going to, with an uplifted hand, acknowledge the need, and I'm going to spend some time asking God to change me and help me to be one who really knows what it's like to talk to God. How many say, Pastor, that's me. I have that need. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Many hands. I hope you see the need, but I hope you'll do something about it. Our Father, do thank this so much for your love, and we thank this so much for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to see how needy we are, that the task is, it is too great. And Lord, if we're honest, our flesh is way too weak. And the world is too strong and powerful and influential. And Lord, without you, we can certainly accomplish nothing. And Lord, we need your blessing, and we need to know you and walk with you, because without you, nothing important or valuable or lasting will take place. And Lord, we just ask you to bless that we will be a church that longs to pray and does spend time praying and having fellowship with you. And Lord, we just ask you to bless. We have many needs. And Lord, as we leave, Lord, may we be burdened with those needs. And Lord, may we cast all of them upon you. And Lord, trust you to do the miraculous. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.